I could discern that he was a prince that could become a good king, great. But if he's a selfish Peter Pan, that's not good.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because Peter Pan is a great playmate.
They're a lot of fun.
They're so fun, right? They can be so fun, you know, in bed. They can be so fun and playing in the world, but they do not make good lifelong partners. You're signing up for a lot of pain.
Welcome to the Be It Till You See It podcast, where we talk about taking messy action, knowing that perfect is boring. I'm Leslie Logan, Pilates instructor and fitness business coach. I've trained thousands of people around the world, and the number one thing I see stopping people from achieving anything is self-doubt. My friends, action brings clarity, and it's the antidote to fear. Each week, my guests will bring bold, executable, intrinsic, and targeted steps that you can use to put yourself first and be it till you see it. It's a practice, not a perfect. Let's get started.
Hi, how are you, Be It Babe? Okay, this is one of those special moments where we get to have one of our guests back because my gosh, she's just a thought leader, and I love her grace and her support for all of us as women listening to this, so we can really step into our hugely amazing power like us. So if you haven't listened to the first episode with Kelly Adame, you should go listen to that one. Now you can listen to this one and then go listen to that one, but it's, trust me, it's going to be, these back-to-back episodes are going to be really, really special for you. And today's topic of what Kelly Adame is so knowledgeable at, which is masculine and feminine energies and relationships. We're actually talking about how to spot like healthy masculine energy, which I think is so important. And also like some of the downfalls as women is what we do that doesn't cultivate that, not to put blame on ourselves, because I'm not at all. None of that's happening. But some of the things that we may have been raised to do that are not helping us in that area. And then also some things that we tend to do thinking that someday our prince is going to come. And so whether you are in a relationship, single, somewhere in between, totally celibate and swearing men off forever, like there's so much in this episode that I think is really important, because we all do have men and women in our lives, and we can really start to see where we can do some self-work on ourselves to continue to attract incredible humans in our lives, and also some permission to give ourselves to just stop doing things. Ladies, we don't have to do things all the time. We can just be in the feeling of it. So I really hope that this episode with Kelly gives you lots of permission. She's got some great Be It action items on both episodes, and I already want her back. So anyways, she is awesome. Here is Kelly Adame.
Loves, it's here. OPC Summer Camp. You know, that thing we started last year? Well, we're doing it again this year, and we're making it bigger and better than ever because we have teachers from all over the world, which means all day long, you can nerd out with me at Camp Zoom from the comfort of your own home in your favorite Pilates workout outfit without having to get bugs or dirt or weird camp food that's like some weird slaw. No, you can have the amazing food from your own home. You can be whatever clothes you want to be in, and you can join us all day long for whatever workouts and workshops you sign up for. In fact, you can even do a whole day pass and save the most money. In fact, up to 56% off if you buy the day pass. So go to opc.me/events to see the full schedule and lineup of events. If you only have access to a mat, we've got plenty of stuff for you. We've got reformer. We've got some happy hip reformer with you. We've got so many amazing things. You can go to opc.me/events to see the whole schedule, all 14 teachers, and all the goodness that's going to happen at Camp Zoom. And I'm your camp director. Woo!
All right, Be It Babe. We've got a guest back. Alrighty, I'm so excited. I'm so excited because I just got to re-listen to her first episode, and by the time this is out, it's already aired. And my husband, Brad, listened to it 2 times. That's how much he fell in love with you. So Kelly Adame, you are back. The queen of all things when it comes to masculine and feminine energies and like really show up in our relationships. And there's so much to talk about. When we finished that episode, we wanted to talk. We're like, well, we didn't even touch on this. So before we talk about what we're going to talk about, can you tell everyone more about who you are in case it's the first time they're listening to your voice?
Yeah. So So my name is Kelly Domi, and I'm trained and educated as a depth psychotherapist and a relationship coach turned sort of entrepreneur. So I've been in private practice full time for 10 years, which has been amazing. Now I'm really pivoting to be more of an educational vehicle for people, because I think a lot of the reason people struggle is because they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to just be sharing more of what I know that's been transformational in my life and in the life of just hundreds of my one-on-one clients, men and women. So I love it. This is like my just happy place. And I'm so excited to be talking more good stuff with you.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled. And it's true. Like, I think, well, y'all have to go listen to the first episode she had on. We'll link to the show notes, because it really was eye-opening for me to understand, like, oh, okay, this might be why there's friction in the household, because we're both trying to like show up in this way, and someone has to receive and someone has to cherish, and there's got to be this thing. And so so what I wanted to focus on today was, you know, we talked a bit more, I felt like, about feminine energy on the first episode, and we talked a little bit, you, like you mentioned, your husband is like, you know, a very integrated, healthy masculine energy, knows the work. And I was just like, so what is that? Because also I feel like, especially today in politics, there's a lot in the news, there's a lot of talk about like toxic masculinity. And I'm like, okay, I think we don't have to dive into that topic, but like, what if we actually focus on like, what is healthy masculinity and what does that look like? And that kind of energy, because that would be nice for us to go, ooh, spot it, green light, let's go. That's the one.
Yes. No, 100%. So it's so interesting, because I think, listen, I have come to a place in my own journey and in my work that I have such authentic respect for good men. Mm-hmm. Like, genuinely, there is so much to be grateful for about good men in the world. And when I came to understand that and then experience it specifically, so I didn't always date good men, just to be real, right? Like, when I really encountered that in a way that I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, I didn't even know I could be loved this way, pursued this way, feel protected, feel cherished, feel chosen, but feel more of who I am, not less of who I am in that dynamic. You know what I mean?
So
there is a lot of stuff about, you know, unhealthy men. There are a lot of unhealthy, wounded men in the world. There are some just con men, sociopaths, malignant narcissists, and you want to be able to identify those men so that you don't get oxytocin bonded and then taken down a terrible, terrible rabbit hole of pain, right?
Yeah. We had, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we had someone who, we had Rebecca Zung on recently about narcissism, and she said this really poignant thing. She said, narcissists don't pick you because they think you're weak. They pick you because you've got something that they want to like vampire off of. So like, so for the women listening, if you're like, oh my God, I'm the one who keeps picking the narcissist. Like, it's not that you're picking them. They're literally going up. Oh, she's got something I need to suck the life out of. And so you have something they want to offer. But I think I love that you brought up, like, you didn't always date those people. Cause I think, especially in your work, people might be like, oh, she like never had a problem. She has no idea. It's like, no, I think we all kissed a fuck ton of frogs.
Yes.
You know,
like, 100%.
Right. And like,
sometimes that's how we learn the hard way.
Yeah. Like, it would be so nice if we didn't have to, but like, maybe it's because the fucking princess books told us kiss a frog and it might be a prince. It's like, you're like, is this?
Well, it's like, if I could discern that he was a prince that could become a good king, great. But if he's a selfish Peter Pan, that's not good.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Because Peter Pan is a great playmate.
They're a lot of fun.
They're so fun, right? They can be so fun, you know, in bed. They can be so fun and playing in the world, but they do not make good lifelong partners. You're signing up for a lot of pain.
And I think sometimes as women, we can, I don't know, like we can fall in love with the possibility of what they could become.
Of course. Oh, yes. Our Pygmalion projects. I just love you and give you more and show you all my goodness, and maybe just like, you know, plant some seeds that I've learned in my personal growth and maybe get you into something. Like, then we could just have this amazing relationship. You could just evolve so I could have what I want, and I'm helping you. Don't you see that I'm helping you?
Yeah. And I feel like all that does is help them become who they're going to be for someone else. I don't think it's always for us.
and you're actually not helping them as much as you think you are.
Mm.
A lot of times you're feeding the part of themselves that they want to feel good. A man who's not integrated in his authentic masculine energy, he's more of like a selfish little boy, right? He wants to feel good more than he wants you to feel good.
Ooh.
So this is why when we, right? So this is when we talk about feminine energy, I tell women, like, you have to be authentically connected to what you feel. And you have to be able to cherish your own feelings so that you can invite a good man to also cherish your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are constantly overgiving and constantly performing and constantly trying to get a man to choose you or love you, or you think that helping him is going to be, you're mothering him. He'll be grateful that you're mothering him because that feels good to him, but that's not going to make him die to his selfishness to love and protect and honor you.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. And also, like, let's just be real. Nobody should actually want to sleep with their mother. So, like, on a romantic partnership level,
that kills your chemistry, guys. Kills your chemistry. Neutralizes your chemistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's incestuous. So when you can get into Freudian stuff around this, right? So, but basically, when women move into like that mothering, overly nurturing, therapeutic, let me help fix you, that's still a form of masculine energy. Because it's still giving in an unbalanced way.
Yeah.
So like when a woman has small children, she has to move into masculine energy to keep those children alive, you know, while they're under the age of six until they're self-sufficient, which is why she needs a good masculine loving partner who's going to support her and support the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's nuanced. This is why I like, to your point, a lot of people, especially right now, are talking about masculine, feminine stuff, but they only know like one aspect of it. They don't have it integrated. They don't fully have an integrated understanding of it. And if you don't, you're going to misapply it and it won't work, or it'll feel manipulative.
Can we talk about like, just like what people think masculine and feminine energies are, and then like, or what's kind of going around is like, what's a healthy version and like what's actually, because I feel like what we talked about on the first episode kind of made things more clear.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to different podcasts and I hear these things and I'm like, that's kind of like, it almost like, I don't know, it just doesn't sound right. And then I definitely want to go into like spotting healthy, you know, energies.
Yeah. 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 So I'm happy to talk about it. I think it's the thing is that there's other pieces that get integrated in this, but if let's just talk about like what good, healthy, masculine integrated energy is.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you have to understand that men go through a different journey than women do psychologically to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And men really only become integrated healthy men three ways. They're either really well fathered by other good men. It doesn't have to be their biological father. It can be other men who show them the way of what it means to be a man. That's why when you like look at like tribal, you know, behavior, it's like, you know, once the boy is 12 years old, he goes out with all the men to hunt, and they take him through all of these different tasks that help him realize that he has what it takes to be a man.
Yeah.
And then those other men bestow on him that he is. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a process that men can take other men through. So this is where we get into a lot of the issues we have, because we have fatherless households. We have men who haven't been well fathered or had father figures in their life. I do a lot of work with men.
Yeah.
So I understand that profoundly.
I mean, right there, I'm just like, well, I mean, several generations of like, not like, you know, I mean, if you even just go back to like World War II boys who were born, their fathers, if they had them, went off to war, then they came back.
Right.
Then they went, like, we're looking at generations of like, probably not a lot of modeling that is healthy. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of men who didn't have that. And that's,
totally.
We're expecting something of them. I'm not trying to get people off the hook. People don't, you don't have to send me any DMs, but it does make sense.
Yes. Well, there is cause and effect, and you can never say it's just one thing.
Yeah.
But one of the major factors, and when I say to women, like, there's a level of like genuine empathy and compassion we can have for men if they haven't been shown the way about how to be good men or how to show up in healthy relationship or how to cherish and love and pursue a woman. Why would they know how to do it?
Yeah. And you're,
we just expect them to know how to do it.
Yeah. And you're also not saying like we have to teach them that, because as we already learned from the Peter Pan thing, that's not going to work. So like, it's just having empathy is very different than like, let me fix it.
Yeah. Well, and also not just like criticizing the hell out of them.
Yeah.
For not being what we think that they should be. Because by the way, we got our own stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, if you look at those things, it's not like just men are selfish POSs. Like, there's reasons why men are you know, have their own struggles. Mm. So now I think everybody gets to take personal. None of us get to decide what we're born into, what we get and don't get, but we do at some point get to decide what we're going to do with it and take personal responsibility, get on a path of growth, healing, awareness, and become better human beings. That's a personal choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're 60 years old and you're still being a super selfish Peter Pan, like, okay, I accept that, but I'm not enabling it either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that.
So, but I do think that men deserve the opportunity to be able to learn how to do that. So they're either really well fathered by good men, or they get on some kind of spiritual path that allows them to like sort of slay their dragons metaphorically, face their fears, look at those things that they have had to work through and become men through that process.
And, like a hero's really journey of something, but that's
yes, like a hero's journey, 100%. So if a man doesn't get to do that, so there's that way. The other way, which is what's really specific to us in the way that I work with women, is that the third way men really become men is that they fall in love with a really well integrated feminine energied woman who requires it of him by the essence that she holds for herself.
So
a man will rise into king energy if he's in the presence of a queen who invites that, but it's indirect. It's not direct.
Yeah. I love that because it's like full permission, ladies, to be your well-integrated queen self and demand that people rise to you. I think that's
but
a scary
thing. It's not you trying to fix him, change him, tell him what to do. It's about you being integrated in the healthiest, you know, because it's like whatever you are gets reflected back to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. What you believe and where you are, that's your jam, right?
Yeah.
So if but it's counterintuitive because we think, well, if I want that, this is what I need to do. And I'm actually going, well, if you want that, actually, this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
And it's different than you think it might be.
I know we talked, on the last episode you had on like about Brad and I meeting, and like, there was one time he called me late at night. He called and like, look, I thought he was the hottest thing. Like, of course I was like, fuck yeah, he's calling. It's the middle of the night. I woke up and he like wanted to hang out and I was like, yeah, you should have called earlier. I can't now. But if you call earlier, you know, next time, then we can hang out. And he did after that.
Yeah,
but of course, there's part of me going, oh my God, like, you know, am I going to see him again? And I was just like, but I wasn't perfect. And I was just like, okay, no, we're not doing that. We did that when we were 22. We don't do that at 31 anymore.
Right.
And it worked out. And he, like when we tell our story of how he met, he said, I called her one time and like, she literally said no. And so I called earlier the next time.
Go figure. So amazing, right? I mean, it's kind of like behavioral psychology 101, right? It's like you reward the behavior that you want more of and you starve and ignore the behavior you want less of.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, men don't need our help. Can I just respectfully say that?
Yeah.
Like if a man wants something, he'll find a way to make it happen because he values it and he wants it, including you. So he doesn't need you to help him. He doesn't need you to kind of be manipulative or position yourself or allow things that you shouldn't or lower your standards. That doesn't help him, respect him, or honor him. And in my experience, men always value something that they've either had to work hard to achieve or that they perceive has a high value, right? Like I like going to the dollar store like anybody else. Like sometimes I'm like, spend $10, who's got all this cool little stuff. Okay. But I don't value that the way I value my BMW.
Right.
So, cause I work hard to earn all the money to pay for that car that I enjoy. So I value it at a different level. So the idea is like, I remember reading this once, similar analogy, I'm gonna use a different one, but you know, like an Olympic athlete who wins a gold medal, the gold medal symbolizes and is so valuable to them because of everything that they sacrificed and all that represents and what they achieved. Mm-hmm. So it holds a special place for them. But if somebody just gave them a gold medal, like somebody's hand-me-down gold medal, it wouldn't mean anything to them.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's the same journey. You want to create enough space for men to decide if they want you and be willing to take the risk and to pursue you, but you want to reward them when they do that.
Yeah.
Which you did, right? So he wanted to see you and you said, even though you wanted to, you loved and valued yourself enough to say no, right? Which by the way, is integrated feminine energy. integrated feminine energy gets what she wants by saying no to what she doesn't want. Right.
Yeah.
So you did that. And then he learned, okay, if I want something different, I got to do something different. So I really value this woman. I do want to spend time with her. So what do I need to do differently in order to have access to her? He did it, called you earlier. And what happened? He won.
Yeah.
He got access to you. That was the reward.
Yeah. No, you're one. It makes sense. I love it because it worked out.
Well,
you know, but
he operated like a good masculine man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honored him. That honored him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the way you said that, like it honors both people and it helps both people. Like we enjoy each other's company a lot better. And like I had a trainer, because I said, oh, he texted me about this thing. And he's like, well, if you want to date him, don't teach him. That's my trainer said. And I was like, okay. So instead of like showing him how to do the thing, because I can't, I'm a fitness professional. I said, do you want to take a class together? Which like, you know, doesn't mean I'm not actually like, we're going to someone else who's teaching it. Like it's not, you know, I'm not doing anything, but it really helps set the tone of like, oh, I don't actually have to teach this person actually have to do that, you know? And like, so it's hard because I think I feel like women are almost raised to, there's the rules, which seems all that book that every girl who was born in the 90s, 80s, like mother told them about, which is like manipulation central. And so you think like, oh, if I manipulate them, then I get them. And it's like, that's not it. And then there's a whole purity culture that makes you feel like you're completely the reason why they've fallen. And so I feel like there's a lot of misinformation given to women about how their feminine energy is powerful and how they can attract a really great person. But also, if you don't know what healthy masculine energy is, you start to go, oh, this Peter Pan person, I can fix them and I can do these things. Or this person's love bombing me. He must be into me.
Yes. You don't know how to discern. This is what I say to women. I'm like, look, you don't know what you don't know. So let's talk about what is actually healthy masculine energy look like. So healthy integrated masculine energy in a man towards a woman, like who's interested in you, he's going to initiate. He's going to pursue. He's going to ask for your number. He's going to text you first. He's going to let you know that he's interested. He's hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you do have to have respect for men, that there's an enormous amount of risk of rejection that men take. And that, you know, so it's like, even when I was single and men hit on me or men asked me on dates or whatever, even if I wasn't interested, I was always incredibly respectful and gracious because I didn't want that man to not be willing to pursue women in general.
Right.
And I wanted to still reward the courage that it took to do that. And I wanted ultimately to still be pursued by the man that I wanted to be with.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think that's just something we should have respect for.
Yeah.
But when a man wants to do that and he takes that risk to hunt, then if the reward is when you give back to him by saying yes and giving him access to your time, your attention, your energy, a date, a whatever. So he's going to initiate, he's going to pursue, he's going to say, I want that. Masculine energy says, ooh, I want that. I'm going to go after it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's energy that leads, that initiates, that takes action, that pursues. It's also by nature protective. So it wants to protect women, children, and the planet. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where it gets so there. That's where there's a level of where they're self-sacrificial in that, but it gives them a sense of purpose and meaning as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Which is, I say this to women too. I wrote about this recently. It's like a man needs to see that there's a place for him in your life and a need for him in your life. I had a client recently who was in a relationship and they broke up and she was devastated. And he basically said to her, I think we're too much of the same player on the same team.
Mm.
So he was very ambitious and strong and driven. And so was she, but it was like, they were like two men running a race together as teammates.
Mm.
And it, for him, he wanted a queen, but her conditioning in her life, you know, was to pursue and be successful. So she thought like, this is great. We're like compatible. And he was going, no, I want a compliment. I don't want someone who's exactly like me. Or does that make
sense?
Yeah,
it does. I'm someone who like was raised to be independent. My father taught me how to make French toast at like fucking four, y'all.
Me too.
Like, yes, stove on.
Yes.
Uh-huh. With a little stool, you know, did my thing with my spatula. He really absolutely wanted me to be independent and not, you know, be reliant.
Yes.
However, he also taught me like, these are the things that I expect to see in a man who wants to date you. And so like, he's like, he will stand on the outside of the sidewalk because you should not get wet.
Yes.
And he will do these things.
Yes.
And so there was that modeled for me, but because of this like self-reliant that I was taught, and because I had student loans and I pen pay my bills since I was 15 years old, you know, like so I definitely was not actually doing the great job of making sure that the partner I was with before, which none of them were right for me, but I also wasn't helping because I wasn't needing them. And so when one time Brad had texted me, he's like, hey, I know you're gluten dairy free. I'm at the store. I got these things. Is there anything else you'd like? And I said, I could really, and I like, it was so hard for me. You guys, it took everything in me to do this. I just go, yeah, I would really love some sparkling water. Can you grab that for me, please? Like, it was everything in my soul, like to just ask for sparkling water. But I knew from all the stuff that I read, I was like, he needs to feel needed. He needs to feel like he is doing something for me. So what is something he could do for me right now? I was like, he could just do that.
Yeah.
And it's still something I have to practice in my adult life because we work together, we live together, and like it's so easy.
Yes.
But you know, like the other day, my client came in the house and she saw him like working on my reformer. She's like, oh, he's also the repairman on the reformer. I'm like, he's so many things. He also repaired my computer today. He also did these things. Like, I wouldn't be able to do this without him.
Love him.
I love you.
Totally.
100%. But I think it's hard when you are raised that way and we live in a society where we, you know, often have to be, because you might be single for a really long time. So there are some things you just have to be able to do on your own, but also being able to let someone feel like they have a place to cherish you and do things for you.
Yeah, I think what you're hitting on is like so central to a lot of the work that I do and teach and encounter, and was my own experience, right? So my mom was a corporate businesswoman. She broke glass ceilings. She did amazing things. I'm always so proud of her for that. And, you know, she wore power suits and chopped off her hair, and she was very masculine in her energy. She didn't model that feminine energy for me, right? She modeled like perform, work, you know, make money, go handle business. And I have a dad that I love, my father. He was a firefighter and he was tough. He had no sons. I was the oldest daughter. So I'm like that firstborn hero child, overachieving, all that, which is like a lot of the
totally
women that
see
I work
you.
With.
Yes.
Yeah, you and me, like soul sisters. Here we go. And my dad was hard on me, he would say, because I wanted her to be tough. I wanted her to know that she didn't need a man. And it didn't mean that he didn't want me to ever be with a man. He just didn't want, he, in his mind as a parent, he was trying to prepare me for all things.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so, yeah, I became very good at being responsible and self-sufficient and hyper-independent and could achieve all kinds of things. But I ended up feeling lonely and disconnected and struggling with, why can't I find a relationship with a good man to make that work and feel loved? And like, am I going to be able to like get married and have children? And is that like, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, I think that's kind of an epidemic of a lot of women that I work with, right? So it's like, we're taught, and it depends on your family. If the currency in your family was performance, like the currency of love was performance. Mm-hmm. So you get love and praise if you get good grades and you achieve this and you do that, then that's what we think love is. And then that's part of what we bring into our relationship with men. Oh, mm-hmm. Let me perform. Let me show you how great I am. Let me do all these things so that you can see, oh, won't you choose me? But that's not what a man falls in love with.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. You are making so much sense, because if performance and those actions are the masculine energy, and to go back to that couple where the guy's like, hey, you're an awesome teammate on my race, but like, I don't want to go to bed with you. I don't want to be married to you. Like, this isn't like the relationship I'm looking for. It's no wonder that if that's what you were raised with, of course, that's what you're doing at home. And you're thinking, well, this is what gets me love. This is what gets me attention. And it's like,
And it's so well intended.
It's so well intended. It's so well intended.
And
my parents listen.
Think,
thanks, guys.
What am I doing wrong? Yeah, love my parents. Shout out. They know we've been through a lot of healing. But I'm just saying, and I remember feeling that way. It's like, I'm doing everything I know how to do. And I know, like, I don't understand. Like, you know, I always remember just feeling like, is there something wrong with me? Is there, or just do all men suck? Like, it's like, and it's this. And of course it's hard. You get bitter, you struggle with limited beliefs. And usually we all have things we've lived through, right? So like, I survived child abuse, you know, sexual abuse very young. So that also really colored, you know, the way that I didn't feel safe with my body and I didn't really feel safe with men subconsciously. So that was an element of healing I had to do too. So, you know, it's not always just one thing, but I'm saying, but that's why it's worth doing this kind of work, you know, and growth.
Yeah.
To figure it out.
I love that you brought up, it's not just one thing. It's not just some, like, just because someone didn't have a father raising them doesn't mean that they're not going to be integrated. And it doesn't mean, or that they have that they're going to be set for life. Like, it's a culmination of your entire childhood and how people praise you and what that is. And it's hard. Like, it's so hard to be an adult person and to also be in relationship, because now you're not just thinking about you, you're thinking about the other person and how that goes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as we're talking about this, I guess I had a couple of women who are like high achiever women, professional clients. Yep. And they're like, I can't tell a man what I do for a living. Or like I had someone else who was like, I can't tell them I have two houses like too soon because it's a turnoff. And I was like, it should not be a turnoff. Like, if it's a guy's healthy and like an awesome dude, like, shouldn't you be like, wow, fuck yeah, I like on a date with a woman who's like owns her own home in LA. Like, are you fucking kidding? Like, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But is that wrong? Like, is it a turnoff when like should a healthy integrated guy like be turned off by someone who like is a pretty badass bitch at work? Like, no.
No. I recently wrote about this too, because I think somebody asked me like, are men intimidated by strong women and successful women? I was like, no, I think that's like a myth that women have perpetuated to help give them an understanding about why they're struggling. Mm. But the reality is a man who is healthy and integrated in himself is not going to be threatened by your successes and your brilliance and your talents. He's going to be like, she's amazing. That's not purely why he's going to fall in love with you. He's going to fall. So it's not that a man cares that you're successful in your masculine energy. He just wants to know that you can be soft with him. He just wants access to your feminine heart and soul and emotions. And like, he just wants to know you can soften and move into that feminine energy with him. You can kick ass and take names all day long and build a 7-figure business and have 3 houses. Great. But are you able to honor the masculine in him?
Yeah.
Or are you trying to, does that make sense?
Yes.
And so what happens for a lot of women is that when you are, so a lot of that is just not knowing how to shift into the feminine energy where you can call in a man who's not going to be threatened by that. Mm-hmm. Typically you're going to be, when you're that strong and you're showing up in that masculine energy with men, you're either going to attract men who want to take advantage of you, right? They want a sugar mama, plenty of those out there.
Yeah.
Little boy mama helped me feel better.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had a friend.
And
he was living his best life for several years. And then one day she's like, okay, I'm done with you, little house boy.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm homeless now. I'm like, I don't feel bad for you at all. Like, you lived the best life for 3 years. You owe her a lot.
Yes. 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 No, but that's like mama taking care of a little boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put a roof over your head and pay for your food and your good time. And you're the primary giver. He's the primary receiver.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to create either a parent child dynamic over time. It's going to neutralize chemistry. Again, that's also Peter Pan. He's fun for a while.
Yeah.
Not a good long-term partner. The issue for women is that I don't care how strong a woman is, she needs to feel the strength of her man.
Mm-hmm.
So as women, like, we in our core, we crave security and safety differently than a man does. So for us, it's like, even though I'm super self-sufficient and I'm strong and I can go do all these things, like, there's a part of me that wants to just like relax into the masculine of my husband and let him lead certain things and feel protected and know that he can be there for me. Most women I encounter, if you're functioning in the masculine energy full time all the time, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Or your adrenals are drained, or you're overproducing cortisol. We're not designed to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Most women I know, they're like, I'm tired. I have decision fatigue. I run a business. I run a team. I run all this stuff. I take care of all these other people. I would love to just be taken care of in some way. It doesn't always mean a man has to make more money than you. Does that make sense? But right.
No, because they could be, you could have a house husband who is taking care of everything for you and the kids, and you come home and there's no responsibility at home. And then you can, you know, you can absolutely, I think that's an option.
Yeah. And you can negotiate, but it's also, it's not just that, it's just that a man knows who he is and he understands what his worth and value and purpose is, and that he's not intimidated by your success. And if a man is, then he's probably just not a good fit for you.
Right.
Because either he has his own wounding or he has his own unfulfilled things in his life that he needs to go feel purpose and fulfilled about first.
Yeah.
It's true that most men don't take a queen unless they have their kingdom in order.
Yeah.
So women will typically like take a relationship on in any phase that they're in because we're wired for relationship and we're more monogamously wired. Men are more polygamously wired. So a man has to die to his selfishness and die to irresponsibility to take on one woman. And he has to choose you and go, wow, I'm willing to give up all other vaginas for this one because I think she's really worth it. And so there's a sacrificial nature in that, but he wins when he does that if he chooses a good woman.
Right. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So fun. Okay. So so how does this, I know, I think my wheels turn out like visually for you. So how does this work in like today's dating online? Like it's so right. Cause like, it's so hard. Mm-hmm. Like there's these dating apps. If you like, you almost have to like DM the guy first, or like, are you just going to sit there and wait? Like how does this work in today's like, I want to talk about that because I know we have a lot of single listeners and like, that's where they're meeting people. It's online. Like they're not going to a bar and meeting people. No one's like doing that anymore. Or, you know, I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm the old story. Like, people like, how did you and Brad meet? I'm like, believe it or not, someone introduced us.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare. So like, how do you operate in your feminine and find a good masculine energy in like the space where like they kind of are thought they are used to women just reaching out to them?
Yeah. Well, so this is one of the things is we've conditioned men in a way that's not to our benefit or their benefit. And the way to reverse that is to stop doing it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I think it's true that we have kind of convoluted that, and there are plenty of men that will just wait and sit on their laurels for a woman to pursue them. Which what you have to understand is whoever pursues and initiates first is signaling that they want to sit in the masculine position. So feminine energy member, she loves herself, she values herself, and she can be patient, passive, available, and connected to generating happiness in her own life, which is very magnetic and waiting for men to come pursue her. I was just talking to a client this morning. I was like, you're like the doe, you know, the deer that's in the meadow, that's just loving the forest and eating the grass. And, you know, and there's someone who's going to come hunt you because that's his nature. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like, but you're not worrying about trying to help him hunt. You're not trying to hunt him first. You're not trying, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
You're just trying to look good, smell good, feel good, you know. And for women, I say like, look, do your work. Where do you have, you know, some limited beliefs and some wounding and some conditioning and some things that you need to sort of clean out to make yourself fully available? There's a lot of women who are actively dating, but they aren't actually available because they haven't done that work.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Or what you're mapping to is a relationship blueprint that's maybe somewhat dysfunctional because of whatever dysfunction you inherited in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, like I have women that had, maybe they had a father that they loved, but maybe he was a high functioning alcoholic. Right. And so they learned to kind of take care of him and, you know, cherish his feelings, but he was emotionally unavailable to her. Mm-hmm. Then she's going to go out and map subconsciously to other men who are emotionally unavailable. You might have a low key drinking problem because it's like, oh, that's familiar. It's home. That's what your psyche knows. But what's happening is you're not getting your needs met. You're not feeling pursued. You're not feeling cherished. You're not getting a commitment.
Yeah.
But you have a blueprint that's mapping you subconscious. Same thing with narcissists. Someone will map to narcissists if they had a narcissistic parent. So I'm just saying sometimes the work is more just spending some time tending to yourself. It's a loving decision.
Yeah.
And so tend to those things, learn those things, and then learn what it means to fully embody your own feminine energy. And then, because it doesn't matter, it could be online, you could still be introduced, you could be meeting somebody at a store, you could be whatever. When you're integrated in that energy, you're going to attract something very different.
Yes.
And you don't,
Yeah, you're 100%.
And they can find you anywhere.
Oh,
they can find you online, in the airport, in the
you guys, the girl who, actually the girl, the woman who introduced Brad and I, she only had met me twice and him once. Like, you know, like yeah. She and she met us at very specific times in our life. Like when mm-hmm. I met her, I was leaving my partner of 5 years. And she was like, hey, do you want to do this thing? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to do the thing. I have no friends. I lost a partner. And I was, of course, I dated him 2 weeks into moving to LA. So I lost all the friends too. So yes, I'm in. And I was like a tourist in my own town. And I was, you know, it was like, I was like, okay, I used to be a fun person. Like this person's helped me be. So I became mm-hmm. this, and I was doing a lot of work on like, why the fuck do I keep choosing the same person? Like, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So she met me at that place. It wasn't any of my friends I know for, you know, 14 years or mm-hmm. anything like that. Mm-hmm. And she'd only mm-hmm. met him one time and he had been going through something. So we met and we were at that thing. And so I think you're spot on that when you, if you actually focus on working on yourself and taking yourself to this fullest mm-hmm. thing, even if you're alone a little longer than you think you'd want to be, you're going to be the best fucking version of yourself. And you're just going to attract the most amazing person to go with totally. You. I like, totally. It's so funny how people want to rush that, you know, like, because also like, it never shocked. Like I'm never surprised when people are like, oh, they moved really fast on that. I'm like, no, they were very integrated people on their own thing. And like, it moves faster when you like, don't have a lot of shit to deal with.
Totally. 100%. It can happen fast. My husband and I knew of each other for about 10 months, but we weren't friends. We had some mutual friends. And then he realized he wanted to pursue me. And so then he started to do that. And then, I mean, within 3 months, we were like seriously committed. Within 6 months, we were engaged. In less than a year, we were married.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar.
That's because I had done all of, it's like the whole be it till you see it. Like, that's it. Like,
yeah.
And it's not, and I want them to hear this. It's not that you're broken and you're wounded and there's something wrong with you. This is like the journey for all of us. And we live in a time where we're very blessed, okay? Like as women, we can go do whatever it is that we want to do professionally, academically, in the world, which is a gift. But you have to know that we suffered some losses around our romantic relationships. And so it's worth going and learning and committing yourself to that journey to have what you want. It's like I say to anything, if you want something, what are you willing to do to get it? Why do we think we should just automatically know how to have successful relationships? Or why do we think we understand men? There's so much about men I love to teach women because I think they genuinely just don't understand and they're measuring men by their own yardstick.
Yeah.
Which is never going
to
work.
And like, I was listening to like, I don't know, it must've been like the Daily or something like that, but it was like a podcast about, you know, women and men and things like that. And like today women can do everything. You can buy a house. You can actually have a baby. You just like have a donor sperm. Like you can do all these things. And so yes, part of it, I do think, requires a level of standard that they're like, hey, I would like you to meet me at this level. And I do think that somewhere along the way, there wasn't as the same amount of like that. I got so much like you can be anything you want. You can do everything you want. Like I don't know that my brother got that same like you got this speech that I got, you know? So I feel like there is, now that doesn't, does not mean you get to like, I'm not saying go date the wounded guy, but I am saying like having that empathy and like, what can, like one of the reasons why I do this podcast, like what can we do for the men in our lives to, you know, encourage them to find this integrated, healthy, masculine energy where they can like really feel like they shine and really attract a great queen that they want to attract. And I think that that's part of it is, you know, honoring who we are. I think we can actually, instead of fixing them, we could just, it sounds like we could just like really 100%. Work on ourselves because part of the journey was if they meet the queen, they'll rise up to it. And then, you know, for those of you who have, you know, sons and brothers, it's like helping them identify like, you know, where they can go to get growth. And it doesn't have to be you.
Well, but you have to be careful about that.
Okay.
Too,
tell me.
Right. Like I would say that the way that you honor a man is respect him. Ask him what he thinks and listen. Let him understand, learn, commit yourself to learning and understanding more about the masculine journey and masculine nature. Right. So a man has to do good in order to feel good.
Okay.
That's why they want to fix things. They want to solve problems. They want to win. Men are wired evolutionary biology. They want to compete, control, and conquer. They want to win. And that's why they like competitive sports. That's why they like playing video games. That's why they like solving problems. That's the way that they're wired. So give them the opportunities to do that in ways that make sense, and respect and appreciate them when they do it. When your husband fixes your Pilates machine and fixes your computer and manages like the beautiful wrap on your car for the tour, and is like, babe, look at this. I'm so excited. Look what's happening. Look what I did. Look what I managed. It's like, oh my God. And it's amazing. And we all benefit from that. So it's like, don't patronize them. Like, oh, let me help you, you know, become your best self. No, I don't like it. It's emasculating. Yeah. It's disrespectful. Well intended. Do that with your girlfriends. Go get into some therapy. Go do some work on yourself, girl. Yeah. But to a man, honor and respect him and appreciate what he does do in the world. I say, even though I'm happily married, any opportunity that I have to respect and appreciate a man, I do it. Mm. It's not just a man. It's all good men. We want men to change. Feed the higher nature of men. Honor and respect them. Like, I was making a joke because I'm born and raised in San Diego, but we recently moved to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and my husband got an amazing job. And every time I go to Costco, I kid you not, I don't know what it is. This never happened when I lived in San Diego. Every time I go to Costco, I'll finish loading my car and I'll have a cart. And there is always some gentleman that's like, hey, can I take that for you? Hey, I got that. Not a guy that works at Costco, just some everyday man that just sees me with a cart and he's like, hey, can I do it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I allow myself to receive in those small ways. Mm. And then I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like you may have touched on something, because one of the last questions I had for you, because my gosh, I'm obsessed. I'm just going to have to like join everything that you do and just, you know, but I feel like there's a lot of people who are probably in relationships right now and they're not willing to give up on them. Feel like what you just described that we could do is like, if you were feeling like your partner is, or even a man in your life is not fully in this healthy, integrated masculine energy, it's like rewarding the good behaviors of the thing. Like we talked about at the very beginning of the episode, but like respecting them and letting them fix and celebrating when they win and that kind of stuff. And so
genuinely appreciating the stuff they do. We tend to criticize what we don't like, but we take for granted what we're getting.
Oh yeah. 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 Oh yeah. 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 That's so like, true. Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like every sitcom of the 90s was like the wife criticizing the thing that they don't like. I feel like Home Improvement right there.
Listen, totally. But yeah, we could get on a whole tangent about that. But one of the things, like working with a lot of men, what a lot of men will say to me about relationships when they're in with women, they'll be like, I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel like I feel like no matter what I do, it's never enough. And so why is a man going to give up options for all other women to be in a relationship with a woman where he doesn't feel appreciated and he feels like he can't win?
Yeah.
Again, he wants to win with you, but he's not a woman. You have to help him know how he can win with you. So my husband will ask me, what do you need from me? It's my responsibility to figure out what would feel good to me, or what could he do that could help me? And then I can respectfully ask him if he's willing to do it. And then he gets to decide. It's his choice. But if he does it, I'm very grateful and we both win.
Yeah.
That's the dance that's so beautiful in terms of the masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
Polarity.
Yeah. And y'all have to go listen to the episode that Kelly was on before, because in your Beat Action Items, there was this really great thing of like really understanding like what would make you feel good. And because then you can, you know, and that takes introspection and time and experiments. And I was sharing, I was like, oh yeah, there was a while back. I was telling my therapist years, like probably like 2020. I was like, okay, so I'm really good in the fifth gear. I'm really good when shit hits the fan. I'm like super great when the floor falls out. But I feel like now that I like am in my home, my dream home, I should probably like get my foot off that gas pedal. And I'm like, not really sure how to do that. And she was like, well, what are some things that make you feel good? And I'm like, so that's a great question. No clue. So how do I find this out? So she like, is there a list? Like, is there a list of things like high recovering perfectionist overachiever? And she said, well, you're going to make a list. And then every time you have this free time, because for me, I needed to like just enjoy free time. But I gave this advice. I said, like, you guys can use this for your figuring out what make you feel good. Is like, make a list when you're feeling good of all the things that can make you feel good. Don't do it when you're feeling bad, when you're feeling good. And then when you like have no idea
what to do or what would feel good. Yeah. Just look at the list and see which one actually feels good in that moment and try it out.
Yeah, 100%. Like open up a little note, you know, in your phone and like start making a list. And then when you're doing something it does make you feel good, just add it to the list. And then you have a place to choose from that. I always tell women too, like, again, if we were conditioned like you and I were to be, you know, good performing masculine. We don't even know. I mean, I talk to women all the time and I'm like, what makes you feel good? They're like, I don't know. I'm like, well, what are you feeling? And then they tell me what they're thinking. I'm like, okay, but that's a thought. Like, how are you actually feeling? They don't really know because so much of the conditioning has been about being productive, being efficient. And we feel like if I'm just sitting around or I'm connected to my emotions, that's a waste of time. That's a waste of energy. And nothing could be further from the truth. Your emotions are just as valuable as your rational thoughts. And you have to give them integration. That's you integrating your healthy masculine and feminine energy within yourself.
So if you
want a man who's well balanced, you got to be well balanced.
Yes.
That's the be it till you see it.
Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. Oh my gosh. I can keep talking to you. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to find out people can find you, follow you, work with you. And then if you have more be it action items for us, we'll take those too.
All right, loves, it's super important to me that supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for 3 years I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I love this so much, guys, because so many people think I have to get it right the first time, and they have done 52 different iterations. I freaking love that. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. I really do drink it, and trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Holy moly. I know that like I'm a recovering overachiever over here, but I'm super glad AG1 isn't. Okay, so taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop. It's literally just one scoop. It's one scoop in one bottle of water. It's amazing. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. Y'all know I've had gut stuff, so that's why I've been doing it for so long. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/beit. That's drinkag1.com/BEIT. Check it out.
All right, Kelly, where do you like to hang out? Where can people work with you? I mean, like, we all need like a VIP day with you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, I told you it's like really exciting time, like, because I'm pivoting now to really teaching. So I've created what's called the Love Bravely Academy that's launching on October 23rd.
Fabulous.
So it's a transformational education, you know, experience. So there's group and one-on-one, but it's a lot of equipping and teaching all these things that we're talking about out and a ton more. So you can go to lovebravelyacademy.com and then you can follow me on Instagram at Kelly Adami. So it's KellyAdami. And I always say love bravely and expect miracles, because it's worth doing the work and being brave and loving yourself and learning to love well, because you get the miracles and the blessings if you take. It's like taking your own hero's journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. I love this. Okay. Then that will be out by the time this episode comes out, you guys. Yes. So go
and then
look
in November,
up.
In November, I'm going to launch the Love Bravely podcast. So I'm trying. So yeah. Come,
yes,
follow,
and, yes,
yes, and I'd love to have you on at some point. It would be so fun.
Oh my god, in already, yes, but I love it because I want to just like, I think like little nuggets of reminders, because especially as like a high, like a recovering perfectionist overachiever, as someone who's like raised, like I have to constantly remind myself, like, it's okay to need help right now.
Yes,
it's okay.
No, and this is my heart. I love working with high achieving women that are navigating the journey from single and dating to successful, committed, monogamous relationship and marriage. Like, I want to take you to, you know, your heart's desire. But we don't get there alone. I didn't get there alone. I'm just trying to give everything that I've learned and integrated to as many people as I can.
Yeah. I mean, and, okay. Yes. All of that. We'll make sure it's all in the show notes. We'll make sure your podcast is in there as well, but that's so that we can all go listen to it. And yes, anytime you let me know, I'm there. Okay. Bold, executable, intrinsic target steps we can take to be it till we see it. Anything you got for us today?
Yeah. Well, so in terms of honoring the masculine, mm-hmm. I think that's a good place. Like, look at where you're maybe being critical, where you're trying to teach, preach, change a man, and be willing mm-hmm. to maybe not do that. And ask yourself, where can I be grateful? Like, any place that you have men in your life that are doing something as insignificant as opening a door or doing something massive, like, tell him thank you and that you appreciate it and how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. That's the next piece. Like, when you do that, it makes me feel loved, cherished, supported. I'm grateful. Thank you. Right. Honor mm-hmm. that in a man. I think that's super important. I think continuing to try to do an hour a day of checking in around just feeding your feel good time. So like, I have a new thing that I'm doing. It's called Feel Good Fridays.
Yeah.
So I basically take half of a Friday off, and all I do is schedule things that help me to feel good. I get my hair blown out. I get my nails done. I go for a walk in nature. I call a dear friend I haven't talked to in a long time. I write a card, like a heartfelt card to somebody. Does that make sense? So
figure out
what it is that feeds your feminine energy, and protect time on your calendar to literally do that.
Yes.
And ask yourself, how does this make me feel when you're trying to make decisions? How do I really feel? And does it feel good to me? The answer is yes. If it doesn't feel good to me, the answer bravely is no.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love it. I love you have Feel Good Fridays. We have FYFs around here. So you guys, you can do your Fuck Yeah Friday. Just like celebrate what you rocked, you know? And also, and then go do some Feel Good Fridays.
Do what makes you feel good.
Yes. Because also, like, the more you do those things, the more you realize what does make you feel good. And it makes it easier for you to ask for those things when you need them. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I feel like it is hard for people. Like, I don't know what I need. that's your homework.
But that's the first step. Yeah. And I think part of that is just committing to that being consistent, because you're going to rewire the neurological pathways in your brain. It's all of that. But and I think so. Those are the things I think out of this conversation make the most sense.
Genius.
I could give you a million, but I don't feel like I'd rather give you like few that you could just really go execute.
My ladies will take a million, and like, as helping them become recovering perfectionist overachievers, we'll take those.
I know.
We'll start there.
Yeah, that's what I say all the time. Progress, not perfection.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I know.
We always say perfect is boring around here. Like, nobody really wants to be friends with perfect.
Right, well, I laugh because it's, yeah, no, of course. Who wants to be with a saint? But I have a client, I remember, she always tells me, what happens with a lot of women, we'll talk about and I'll explain something that's happening and they'll get illuminated and they'll be like, okay, great. And then I go, okay, what do I do? Everything is, what do I do? Okay, now what do I do? And I go, just be with what we just mm-hmm. illuminated for a second. Watch the part of you that's so quick to, what do I have to do? Just marinate in what you're learning. Listen to this podcast and just take a few minutes and just take all of that in, you know?
Yeah.
And then go do something.
Yeah. Kelly.
Feel good to do good, ladies.
Feel good to do good. You guys, I hope this is as enlightening for you as it's been for me. I've been looking forward to this interview since our last one. I'm just so excited to know you. Yeah. I can't wait for our paths to cross again. Y'all, how are you going to integrate this into your life? How are you going to receive it? Yeah. We want to know. Make sure you tag Kelly, tag the Be It Pod. And until next time, be it till you see it.
That's all I got for this episode of the Be It Till You See It podcast. One thing that would help both myself and future listeners is for you to rate the show and leave a review. And follow or subscribe for free wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, make sure to introduce yourself over at the Be It Pod on Instagram. I would love to know more about you. Share this episode with whoever you think needs to hear it. Help us and others be it till you see it. Have an awesome day.
Be It Till You See It is a production of the Bloom Podcast Network. If you want to leave us a message or a question that we might read on another episode, you can text us at +1 310-905-5534 or send a DM on Instagram at Be It Pod.
It's written, filmed, and recorded by your host, Leslie Logan, and me, Brad Crowell.
It is transcribed, produced, and edited by the epic team at Desenio.co.
Our theme music is by Ali at Apex Production Music, and our branding by designer and artist Gianfranco Cioffi.
Special thanks to Melissa Solomon for creating our visuals.
Also to Angelina Herrico for adding all of our content to our website. And finally, to Meredith Root for keeping us all on point and on time.
All right, my coffee lovers. I got something for you. And I know most of you are coffee lovers because if you're listening to this, you have lots of things you're doing and coffee is something that you are taking with you everywhere you go. In fact, I know the Pilates instructors around here are taking coffee, kombucha, tea, and water into every class that they take. So this one is amazing because this is Pure Cafe Bold. They have two options for you. They've got black coffee and then they've got a caramel coffee latte, which is amazing. And here's why it's amazing. It's pre-brewed. So it comes in this amazing little packet. And you can actually just take the packet in to your office, your work, on a plane, like we've been doing. And then you pour hot water in and boom, you've got coffee. And this coffee actually has some amazing stuff. It's not just regular coffee. This coffee supports your immune system. It boosts cognitive function, increases stamina, it reduces stress, and it has cordyceps.
And what are cordyceps, you ask? Oh, that's right. Brad's here. Nature's powerful secret energizer, a rare species of fungi, cordyceps is renowned for its invigorating properties and centuries-old use in traditional medicine, packed with essential nutrients. This natural adaptogen boosts stamina and supports overall well-being. And seriously, it's actually super simple to make. Leslie and I have taken it camping.
Yeah.
I'll use it in the afternoon.
We're taking it everywhere because I'm tired of conferences and different hotels having burnt coffee.
It's 1,000 times better than the terrible coffee that you get on an airplane.
And the black coffee is like less than a dollar a packet. So it's like, it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the caramel myself.
He
the
does
caramel
like
has
it.
A little bit of milk in it. So.
It has some dairy. So my dairy free peeps, you can't do the caramel, but you can do the black, right?
Yeah. The black coffee is vegan, keto, gluten-free, non-GMO, nut-free, dairy-free, fat-free, and CGMP compliant.
All right. So here's the deal. You need to go to beitpod.com/coffee. BEITPOD.com/coffee. And when you do that, you are going to be able to get some amazing coffee that we're loving. You can buy it as a one-time purchase, or you can actually get it as a subscription. There's even family packs. So if you know that you've got a lot of coffee drinkers in your household, this is amazing. And it's honestly cheaper than all the coffees we've been making at home. So we are so excited. I hope you are. Go to beitpod.com/coffee. And, you know, cheers to you and I. Every morning, we'll be drinking the same coffee together. Woo!